Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 27 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com, and one of my co-hosts is here, Aaron.
Hooray!
Of TeebleComic.com.
Comic.com.
Oh, okay. And Tanya is not here. She's not here on time, and we'll add her later, maybe. So that's going to be a rule when we solidify a drinking game. Tanya's not here on time when we start the show. Take a drink. Mm-hmm. This week we are talking about webcomic burnout. What happens when you just can't do it anymore? At least, hopefully, for just a little while. We have a special guest this week. Rob of Steam Pirates is with us.
Yeah, hello.
And you can see Steam Pirates at steampirates.smackjeeves.com. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. Aaron, do you want to take this away?
Right. So, Rob posted back on the 26th that he's kind of pretty much had it more or less because people were being jerks to him and critiquing his comic in at least what I consider pretty unreasonable fashion, and what a lot of people ended up considering pretty unreasonable critiques, and it just got to the point of aggravation and boiling.
It got to the breaking point. I made the mistake of making a genre comic. I tried to fit into a specific genre, and I think when anyone does that, they kind of bring the crazies out of the woodwork. It's like if you try and make a sci-fi comic or something, and you specifically put on the comic label that it's that specific genre, you get all the people who are crazy about that genre critiquing it, and I made that mistake.
All yelling at you saying, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I went with the steampunk thing, and apparently steampunks are very, very, I don't know about all of them, but apparently quite a few of them are very specific about what steampunk should be, I guess, and they all have the different idea of what it should be, and apparently all their ideas are different than mine. So,
well, screw them, I say.
Screw them all, yeah. I don't know. I'm actually in the process of redrawing the entire book. I decided to throw out the entire thing and start from scratch because of this whole problem, actually. But that's why I'm on a hiatus, actually. I redesigned all the characters and did a reimagining.
That's insane. That's insane. How much are you redoing?
Well, I've only done 24 pages of the book. It's only 24 pages into it. I have, like, I don't know how many, like 50 or 60 pages written. But I've only drawn 24 and colored 24. So I'm just going to redraw all 24 and start from scratch because of the whole genre problem. I'm trying to get away from the steampunk genre, actually. It's still going to be industrial and steamy, like, you know, they're still going to be using a locomotive as a pirate ship and whatnot, but I'm just going to try and get away from that a little bit. I'm not going to slap around the word Victorian anymore or anything like that, because apparently, you know, people expect, you know, when you say Victorian, they expect Sherlock Holmes and stuff, or, you know, I don't know.
Top of the morning to you. I'm going to run you with my train now.
Right. They expect Victorian dialect. I've actually gotten a few emails and people are saying, well, this is Victorian. How come they're not speaking like true Victorian dialect? And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. You know,
the people how nettlesome. Seem to...
exactly.
Holy
they
crap.
Seem to forget... What's that?
Wait a minute. I completely forgot. We also have Mark Savory on the show who does our webcomic reviews at Moon City Comics.
Do we?
What's Hello. The URL again?
Autumnlake.com.
Oh, yes, that's right. I was thinking Moon City. Right. All right.
I started monologuing and then I just screwed up the whole show.
No, that's my fault. Well, that has to, that has to
no,
be
No, it's not your fault. I'm not really sure because I have this crappy headset. where every other headset or phone I've ever had, you can hear yourself when you talk, and on this one, you can't. So I don't know if it works or not. So sorry. Sorry, I just jumped in there to see if it worked.
That's all right.
Wow, okay. Well, now that we're all here, except for, what's her name?
Tom. Already starting to get her.
All right.
Awesome.
So, Rob, I have a question, and I asked this on the forum too, but there isn't really like a steampunk rule book somewhere. It's not.
No, there really isn't.
Like reference material. Like Gibson for the whole cyberpunk and the Bible for anyone that wants to do anything Christian related. And
yeah,
the Druids have all their own, you know, reference text, but there's no steampunk reference text.
Well, it's kind of a new genre. I mean, it's only been around for a little while, and I think everyone's still trying to figure out what it's all about. And
Victorian?
it doesn't need to be Victorian. I mean, it's I don't know where steampunk originated, but I kind of think that, like, if you ever seen the anime Trigun, wouldn't you classify that as steampunk? And it's not necessarily Victorian. It's on another planet in the future, for crying out loud. But
yeah, it kind of has that undertone. Like, there are giant on one episode, I think there's a giant train and like kind of train thing that's going across the desert.
Right.
And it's kind of a Western, but it's on another planet. And it's, I guess you could consider it a steampunk. See, like, that's why, like, it's so confusing, because I can't tell you, like, if it is or not. But, it sounds, I mean, and from what I saw of it, it's kind of steampunk. I mean, there's wanted posters, and it's like a Western and everything else, but then, of course, then there's robot guys and giant trains and everything else. And I always thought that was cool, you know. I didn't think it really needs the genre. Like, I don't know.
Don't need to be a strict, or you can just say inspired or ish or something. There's just people that take things way too seriously sometimes, and you just want to have a fun thing to do and whatever.
Yeah,
are there like stratifications within steampunk, you might classify something like what's that? The Wild Wild West. Could be steampunk.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
That film was actually the old series too, were definitely considered steampunk. I think. You know, I mean, I don't want to be the expert here. I don't want people to be calling in and being like, well, you know, actually, I'm not by any means a steampunk expert, but I do know. I just like history and historical fiction and historical machines, and I just kind of want to put them into a comic, and that was kind of how I got into the whole genre. Then I found out that steampunk existed, and I just thought, well, I'm going to slap a label on my comic because it seems to be steampunk, and then, you know, that started this whole storm of controversy,
people
apparently.
The people that are critiquing you are experts, so there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, they must be the experts, right.
Yeah, that's why I wonder if there's a stratification. Like, you might have, just looking at anime, you have like really hardcore anime like Akira, and then you have on the other end something like, I don't know what, Sailor Moon or something. So I wonder if it's steampunk, you have that same stratification, and maybe your comic fits somewhere in the middle. Guys on the other end hate it, and the guys on the far end don't like it, or you know what I mean? Maybe that's all it is.
That's what it seems like, because I mean, I've been on multiple forums trying to pitch it, and I got on, you know, some steampunk forums like brassgoggles.com, I think, or .org, I'm not sure, and a couple other steampunk forums that are specifically around, like, for people who are really into that stuff, and I'll pitch it and, you know, say, well, you know, check it out if you want, whatever, and all I get back is people saying, well, it's okay, or... You know, or they're not speaking proper Victorian dialect. And then I get one or two people say they like the idea, but nobody really seems to, like I said, I don't know, like you said, actually, it seems like it's in between. It's not good enough for the hardcore guys and then the ones who are not so into it. I don't know, it just doesn't fit in, I guess. So I'm just rethinking
it. there's different audiences too for all of the yeah. stratification within any genre. So maybe yeah. Maybe the only ones that you've talked to are like the hardcore guys.
Yeah, I guess if you're hardcore enough to go onto forums and debate online about, you know, who's more steampunk or what's more steampunk, then I guess you're pretty hardcore. And maybe I should have thought that out. But, yeah. Come to think of it, I really should have thought that out.
So basically this outside criticism has what's driven you into burnout?
Well, I expect criticism from the start because my girlfriend, she's been drawing webcomics for years, and you know, she always got the crazies that would say, you know, this or that, and right. and you just kind of throw them off because, like, I guess she always said to me that if the comic was popular enough to get negative criticism, it's doing pretty good.
Right.
So I kind of always went by that, but yeah. I want, like, actual, honest-to-God, like, good criticism, not, like, I'm tired of this, you know, oh, it's not this, or oh, it's not that. I want, like, people to say, well, your comic book style, or your word balloons are placed improperly, or this page could have used something, or, you know, I want some real criticism, not this, oh, they're not talking proper Victorian dialect crap. <You know? laughs> I mean, if somebody went on there and said, oh, I don't like the way you draw or something, I would actually, I think I'd be happy. I'd be like, wow, great. I'm glad somebody actually, you know, critiqued my comic for what it is instead of, you know, what it isn't.
Right.
There should be four rivets on that boilerplate, not five. It almost sounds like sci-fi fans talking about, well, you know, I noticed that the fourth engine didn't have the proper color glow in that battle scene, you know?
That's maybe. Exactly how it is. It's like the sci-fi people, but they're critiquing something that already exists. Like if you draw a locomotive, you actually get people saying, "Oh, you know that locomotive's setup isn't properly drawn on this picture," you know, and then they'll send you a picture of the real thing and say, "Well, this is what it should look like," and you know, it's like, "Oh, come on." It's not like with the sci-fi people. At least they're talking about something that doesn't exist. With the steampunk, you know, you get stuff that already exists, like real steam engines and stuff, and the people know about them and apparently know a lot about them, and then they start emailing you telling you that you're not doing it right. I don't know. But no one seemed to catch on that in the comic. I had a lot of people say that the Victorian dialect isn't right or whatever, or the costumes aren't right for the time period, which I never even stated a time period. But again, a lot of people, nobody really notices that the locomotive I used is a Niagara class, and that's a 4884, and that was from the 1940s, World War II. And I used that as the pirate ship in the comic. And, you know, the comic's Victorian, and no one even noticed that, which I think is the funniest thing. I've been waiting and waiting for someone to call that out, and nobody ever did. But, you know, that's besides the point. I don't know.
That's not the experts in.
Yeah. But like I said, it did burn me out. And on top of that, I work a full-time job. And I have a girlfriend, you know, full-time live-in girlfriend. And on top of that, I own a house, and I'm remodeling. And I'm here trying to... On top of all that, I'm trying to get this comic updated, and I've only been able to do it once every other week.
Right.
And I get a lot of, you know, people saying we should update more. We should update more. Well,
that's good because people want to see it.
But, yeah, that's true.
Did you want to pimp your girlfriend's webcomics? You said she was doing webcomics.
Yeah, actually. Well,
because you might get in trouble if you don't.
I probably would. She listens to the cast and. Yeah, she said, why didn't you, it's on Webcomics Nation. She's got two of them, I think. One's called, what is it? Well, one's The Adventures of Miss Bun Bun, which is kind of a cartoony kitty comic that she does off on the side. And then she's got another one called Last Place Champs, which is a slice of life comic, which she just got started. And those are both on Webcomics Nation. I couldn't give you the full URL. Because it's kind of long.
We'll look them up later and get them in the show notes.
And she does have her own personal artistic website, and it's kayleemcd.com.
Ready?
That's kayleemcd.com.
So. See, this all should get you some good brownie points then.
Right. But, yeah, pro at it, I'm not really. I just started getting into it recently. Well, I call her a pro, but, you know, for brownie points, too.
Right. So, are you still deep in that burnout? Or are you coming out of it, you think? Like, because it sounds like you're getting stuff done, at least offline.
Yeah, offline, I've already started redrawing the book. And another reason for the redraw was I'm trying to figure out a way to get it updated more often. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to draw the whole book in pencil and not ink it. And then I'm going to color over the pencil, which actually looks kind of grittier, which is good. The burnout, I'm kind of coming out of it. I redesigned all the characters, and I rethought some of the plot points of the story, and that got me more into it again. I started getting into it and started thinking, well, this would be cool if I change this, and this part's never really sat right with me, so if I change that. So now I'm kind of excited about the whole project again.
We'll
see how that goes once I start posting it.
Did you ever feel frustrated or feel burnout was partially attributed to a lack of ideas, or was that just not the case?
No, I wouldn't say anything about it was a lack of ideas. Like I said, I have about 50 pages written, mm-hmm. and I've only gone through 24 of them. It wasn't the lack of ideas, but I would say that it was more. I got burned out on drawing the boring stuff, like like the dialogue scenes.
The dialogue scenes suck.
No. Yeah, like I totally hear you on that, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like you want to get to the good stuff, and you got to draw like 3 or 4 pages of people just talking in a room. It's just, oh, God.
Yeah, and how many different ways can you draw them sitting in a room talking to each other?
Yeah,
and avoid cut-paste situations, because you just don't want to draw them turning their head slightly.
Right, exactly.
That's what actors talk about, that it's exposition, where they have huge mantras to learn with no action, where they're not moving or anything. And
it's mostly just change of camera angle, really.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
or watch a Keanu Reeves movie and see how he does it.
I thought you said we weren't supposed to cut and paste like that.
Let's move on to the Beacon crew here. Has anyone here experienced burnout?
Yes.
Right now.
Oh, is that Tanya? Is Tanya in the studio with us?
Oh, ha 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 ha! I'm on the side face.
Yeah. Mark, have you had burnout?
No, I can't say that. I can't say. Well, with burnout, it comes in a couple different flavors. I haven't run out of ideas. Mm-hmm. I have reams and reams of notes of ideas for stories and things. Mm-hmm. For me, it can be a chore. Like, oh, I got to get this comic done tonight. I've only got 2 hours to do this strip, you know. But I can't honestly say I'm burnt out on it at this point. I have felt a little bit of the discouragement, though. Mm-hmm. Not enough to make me stop. But I think that's a big factor in burnout. And like you're saying, sometimes everybody is picking your work apart. But then there's the opposite side of that, where nobody says a peep, so you don't know
anything.
You know, your mom likes your comic, but that's not the same thing, is it? It's like you're a voice crying in the wilderness. I think that's probably like one of the biggest forms of burnout, right up there with people snarking at your comic.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, but that's more of like, that's not entirely burnout, but it sounds like you're getting there a little bit, but not enough to make you stop, like you said.
No.
What about you, Tanya?
I think my burnout comes more in the form that Mark just talked about. I have millions of ideas, and I have script after script after script, And right now there's a lot going on, and I know I need to sit down and draw, and I don't want to. So
paint
it's
bucket.
More...
We'll paint bucket it for you.
Bucketville.
Just draw the lions.
Thanks. Yeah, that's sweet.
You know what sucks about that? Just to interject mm-hmm. here. It's like you have a million channels and nothing's on. It's like you go to your closet
exactly.
and there's all these clothes in there and there's nothing to wear, you know? When you
exactly.
have a huge list of things to choose from, and yeah, you don't really want to do any of them.
Yeah, I want to play Guitar Hero for. Yeah.
You got that Neil Diamond edition? Is that what you have?
Yeah. Oh, geez. It's a nice Neil Diamond Aerosmith mix. It's.
Oh.
Come to America.
Yeah. What about you, Aaron?
A couple things that I've. Just like they're talking about, Ryan, you know, guilty of doing way too many talking heads. A long time ago, yeah, that was me. I got tired of doing dialogue scenes, and my dialogue scenes would look stupid. But I'd love writing. The other thing is a lot of it, you know, Sunday comes around, and it's like Sunday, well, it's going to be 1 o'clock here soon. And, you know, I still don't even have half my comic done. And I'd like to do something that's actually fun. Today, but it seems like your comic just drags on and on. You know, you feel like you have it almost done, but you know, even though it's almost done, it's still going to take like 2 more hours. And it's
yeah.
like 2 more hours I could be playing my Wii or and anything. I don't know. And you know, is anyone going to say that's a nice episode tomorrow when it pops up? Maybe like the 2 people that are my friends that read it.
well, like you're saying about dialogue scenes, you had a dialogue scene a couple of strips back where a future paladin is watching a couple of lumberjacks, and they have a dialogue scene, but they're also cooking pancakes at the time.
Yes,
I thought that was pretty funny, actually.
I know, and I was getting emails and messages from people that were saying blah 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 blah, and then it would say flip. And they would go flip and they'd talk a little bit more. So
I have some
like well received episodes, but there's other episodes that, you know, I still bust my butt on that, you know, I have my little routine. I go to work every Monday and I put my episode on my desktop at work, and then I read the episode over and over and over until the end of the week, and that's kind of how I appreciate it, because even though hundreds of readers, you know, all my hundreds of readers are playing Guitar Hero all weekend. you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
Or whatever. But.
That's kind of like how...
The percentage of people that actually email you out of all the people that read is really low.
Oh, I know.
Sometimes the little talk box or something will help, but
yeah.
Oftentimes that has just weirdness in it. It ends up being a running conversation between fans instead of really having anything to do with your comic. But yeah, if anybody's emailed you at all, like, rock on. That's great.
That is great.
I've saved all 3 that I've gotten.
See, it's like, and that's actually something that can help with burnout. You know, if I feel like, why the hell am I doing this, is to go back and read some of the really good emails or a good review that you got.
Right.
Puff yourself up a little bit.
Yeah, the reviews are a really good thing, actually, if they're good reviews anyway.
Yeah,
good at keeping you motivated and having, like you're saying, a reason.
Yeah.
Even it's like, that's why... I think like chat boxes are really good if you can get people to post in them, but it makes it a little bit easier because people don't want to sign into like yet another forum, or they don't want to open up their email just to tell you one thing. And if it's right there, they can quickly say something. So you break down some barriers and do get people, you know, maybe saying something a little bit more often than the lazy people that can't be bothered to, you know, open an email window or something, but they still kind of want to say something.
I think people also have this impression that if you're doing something creative and you're putting it out there for people to read, that you probably get thousands and thousands of emails, and there's no way that they'll read mine.
There's only a few people I know that get that probably get thousands of emails, and yeah. And one I got to get a hold of because, you know, he said that he would come on this show, but he still hasn't got back to me the second time to confirm the date. So I'm still kind of like, what? Well, I don't know. I'm sure he gets thousands of emails, too. So
most of my thousand consist of spam.
It's all Viagra and
some guy in some foreign country left me $100 million
That's stuff like that. Donate it to my PayPal then.
Yeah. Here's a link. This will be easy.
Yeah, here's a link to my PayPal.
Well, alrighty. We're gonna take our first break. When we come back, I'm gonna talk a little bit, and then we'll do some call-ins and talk about recovery options.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
I do to try to like break the cycle, all that nobody emailing anybody, is I always go out of my way to actually email people every single time I find an episode of something I like, or I will leave a stumble for like with an actual comment for every single episode I like, in hopes that maybe if I do it, they'll do it, and then maybe if they do it, the next person will do it, and it'll start something. Yeah. Because right now, you know, like nobody pretty much stumbles anybody most of the time. And
I don't do any of that social bookmarking crap.
I know, but even emailing somebody's not really social anything.
It's social interaction.
Stumbled my comic once, and I didn't even know that StumbleUpon really existed until I went on the site, and I was just like, this is neat. But I never actually used it. Net savvy, actually.
I like Stumble because there's a lot of people's comics that don't have a comment section under the episode. Mm-hmm. And right. Stumble is a nice way of commenting on an episode when their comment does not work.
Right. Mm. When there's no other
means. So that's what I use it for, basically, is leaving them a comment, you know, that way instead.
Right.
What I've done is I've done this with Ardra and PSI. I've set up a Drunk Duck mirror, and I went through the when I redid the entire archives for both webcomics, I added the Drunk Duck page to the archive page, so you can comment on this at the Drunk Duck site for those interested. Because I could probably set up a sort of like WordPress thing, but I didn't really think about this too much until after I already redid like maybe about 300 different pages, because I do it all individually in HTML.
I've noticed that most of the things you come up with cause you a ton of work.
And or money.
Yeah. Exactly. Your main goal in life seems to be to make your life as complicated and difficult as possible.
And that rolls right into why I think I got burnout last year. I was anybody who knows me knows that I was involved with the 2007 crossover wars, and mistakenly I committed to way too much. I ended up having four webcomics that were involved with it in some way. and it distracted from what I was intending for PSI. It distracted from me being able to get the updates for Ardraw when I was the artist. And then I was like, hey, I got another idea. I'll make a Jenny Everywhere comic that goes along with it. It'll be so cool. Oh, wait, I got another idea. I'll make something where there's other furry characters that are going to come in and help, you know, fight the battle. And here I'm sitting over here. I'm frying, like, bacon on my desk. And I don't think my Jenny comic updated for like a year, and then my PSI comic eventually updated after 4 months for like 3 strips, and then I didn't update for another 3 months. It was just terrible, and now I'm starting to get back in. And one of the things that really, really helped me to get motivated was, I think it was time. Just not having enough to do, and then just kind of getting a little spark again, finally finishing one of my webcomics, and now I'm starting to update, albeit sporadically. I'm not committing to any sort of schedule except that I'm going to update at least once a week. I'm going to try for 2 to 3, and I'm just going to you know just keep going at a nice relaxed pace, until, because it's not like I'm doing anything, me doing anything for money. That, whoa, weird. It's obviously all just a big hobby for me, but I don't know. It really does help when you get, you know, some feedback, people wanting to see the next one, you know.
Yeah, it does.
When people comment or whatnot and tell you that they're excited for the next page or they can't wait for the next update, that's a good inspiration to get it done.
Right.
But unfortunately, some of us, even if we want to get it done, sometimes we can't. Yeah, that's one of my main problems too. Was another burnout thing, was just not being able to get my updates done in time, and then having people, you know, say, "Well, why haven't you updated recently or whatnot?" And
it adds to the pressure.
Yeah, it does. It starts to feel like a job, or like you have a deadline, or, you know,
right,
your editor will fire you or something.
But you're not getting paid.
You're not getting paid, and you're doing it for fun. And it's like, wait a minute, how did this happen?
It's not fun anymore. What?
Yeah, that's hard when it becomes a chore.
Right.
Yeah, and you do a totally different kind of comic than mine. I'm doing like the Gag-A-Day type of deal.
Yeah, that, I'm trying to do an ongoing story and full-size comic book paper.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to originally get it published, or, you know, by self-published, and, you know, sell issues at the North City Comic Book Convention and try and get it, you know, independently published and whatnot. And then as time went on, I was like, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. So I just made it into a webcomic. And I think the reason I'm redesigning the whole thing is because I'm trying to make it more webcomic friendly and just do it on smaller paper and do it in pencil and color the pencil digitally and digitally ink it more or less. And that would save me tons of time.
Well, alrighty. I think we should open up the phone lines. For those listening in the chat, you can call in through the talk show live. You can call in through Skype if you look up Festworks. Or you can call in the U.S. 1-320-310-0922. Is anyone in the chat room ready?
I'm ready. I'll call in.
No, you're already here.
Damn it.
Well, if you're in the chat room, send a text first so we know when to expect you. I am going to play an email. I have an emailed in call. That's not the right file.
No. No, it's not.
Okay, I gotta click the right thing.
It helps.
All right, where is it? Where is it? Oh, here's a call in. We got a call in from...
Saved.
Hooray.
We got a call in from Nate of jazzandjess.com.
Yay.
And hopefully you guys will hear this.
Greetings, fellow Webcomic Beacon listeners. My name is Nate. I'm calling from jazzandjess.com. The topic for next week, I believe, or this week if you're listening now, is the webcomic burnout. So I just wanted to talk about what I do when I burn myself out with my artwork. As you may be aware, if you've read my comic, I do a zombie one. So I tend to find that going back to the source material helps an awful lot. Watching the old school zombie movies that inspired me when I was younger, you know, the pure cheese factor of it, but also taking a break as well, drawing other things, maybe. Something new that you haven't tried before. I mean, for example, I draw a lot of fan art of computer games and comics and whatnot, and sometimes just drawing real, you know, just drawing still life and things will tend to help me. But yeah, that would be my advice, and yeah, thank you very much. Bye bye.
That's excellent.
And Nate's American female viewership just went up by 10,000 right there.
Awesome. Well, Nate.
Nice little chap. That was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant.
Thanks very much.
Yeah,
thanks
that
very
was
much for calling in. Now, if we can get more like that, or people that actually use the number 1-320-310-0922 or 1-320-310-0WCB for Webcomic Beacon.
That was pretty good advice, though. I actually find movies too to get inspired a lot. But with me, it's not really zombie movies. It's more the Road Warrior series or the Pirates of the Caribbean movies or something along those lines.
I think we all draw from different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you can work the other way.
That's where I screwed up doing a slice of life comic. It demands that everyone in my life be funny. So that I have source material.
That kind of reminds me of a Nick Swardson stand-up joke. He was talking about, it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm going to tell it terribly, but I'm going to attempt it anyway. He's talking about, his joke is consists of him, he's going to his doctor because his cat has diarrhea, and his doctor asks, what do you feed him? Then he's like, diarrhea. And and then he's like, some lady stood up in the audience and is like, yelled at him, is like, that's not a very nice thing to do. And then he's like, not everything is real. It's not like I'm at home yelling at the cat, eat it, eat it. It has to be real to be funny. So, anyway.
Hello?
We have, is this Ryan Dow?
Yeah, this is Ryan. Can you hear me all right?
More or less.
All right.
So introduce yourself. Tell us what webcomic you're from, if any.
Hi. I'm Ryan. I do a comic called Introspective Comics, introspectivecomics.com. So.
Alrighty.
And I'm just testing out my mic for the first time, so if it doesn't work, let me know.
I think it works. I think it's mostly just a transmission through TalkShoe, but you have something to say about the subject at hand?
Yeah, last month was pretty, I was kind of on the edge of burnout last month, and I think what helped for me was just stopping comparing myself to other comics out there, or just trying not to guilt trip myself so much. Like, I think I'd look at maybe like Buttersafe or something and, you know, see like, well, this comic started after me, but they've got like 10,000, you know, they've got all these thousands of visitors more than me, or, you know, maybe I should be updating more, maybe I should be doing this more, this more. But I kind of bit off more than I could chew last month. So I think I had to just accept that, you know, I can do what I can, as much as I can do, and just run with that. So,
you know, this is Aaron. You know what, when I had that problem too, and what I started doing is I compared myself slowly to comics that were just a teeny bit better than mine. I'm so serious. And then I'd kind of hopefully reach that level after maybe a couple months, and then I would compare myself to a slightly better comic. And I've just been pinching myself up over the last, you know, 2.5 years that way. So that's what I suggest to you.
So that's pretty good advice, really.
Actually, you know, I take it the other way. Sometimes what I don't like to do, but sometimes it helps to look at a crappier comic than mine and say, you know what? You know what? I'm actually better than that.
Yeah.
And sometimes that works. Sometimes that works. I mean, I wouldn't. It sounds awfully negative, but it. I mean, sometimes you can say, you know, I'm actually doing better work than that, and I can see where I'm ahead of that, and I think that works just hand in hand with what Aaron was saying. I think that's very good advice.
Yeah. But when, well, I know.
What hurts with that?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, what hurts with that though is I often find myself looking at a crappy comic and saying, oh, I think I'm better than that, or you know. And then I'll find out that its viewership is higher than mine or something, and then it's feel like you want to hang
yeah,
yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. You just have to steal those readers away, that's all. Maybe they just have
to figure out a way to pirate away the viewers.
I've sometimes seen ads that say, they like quote like someone from their farm or something like that. It's just like Penny Arcade, only less funny and whatever, but... Oh, geez. You know what, guys? You got to hang on a second here. I got to pause the show. I got a call. I'm trying to sell something. Hang on. I'll air it. Hello?
Put him on the show.
It's good to get a call in during a call in.
How does that work?
Okay.
I've got a call, so I have to put it on hold.
Okay. Well, if you're going, east, you'll come to North Blake Road.
Awesome, we're getting directions to Fess's house.
You'll go past train tracks first.
Oh, are they steampunk train tracks?
Do they go left or do they go right?
I was nearing you on the wrong side of the tracks.
Do they meet at a point in the center far off on the horizon?
Don't they all?
I got people asking me questions too about that. The train track thing about how could a pirate locomotive actually steal freight from another train?
Well, in a train yard.
There's switches on tracks. It pulls up to a switch, it blows up another train, and switches and grabs its cargo and goes.
train yards are huge.
Yeah, sorry guys. I was setting up. I'm selling some of my stuff on Craigslist, and he's going to be here in a little bit.
Great. Have him on the show.
Good. Yeah,
ask him how he deals with burnout.
Yes.
I buy stuff on Craigslist, and I call dudes and get directions, but then I never show up. And then I
you're an ass.
Here you are.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, Ryan, thanks for calling in. We're going to have to probably pause the show for a little bit here once he calls again. So. Again, that was Ryan's from introspectivecomics.com. Let's see here.
I know I've mentioned it before that one of the things that I like to do is I take the comics that I really like that, you know, do have the 100,000 readers and go back and read the first 10.
Yes.
Because the first 10 always suck. And they always look bad. And I mean, even Penny Arcade, mind you, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't the quality it is now. You go back and you read those first 10, and you realize, you know, they had a start point, too.
Right.
A little softer on yourself then.
Yeah. Have you seen the early Garfield or Dilbert? They're just horrid.
Oh, God.
Have you seen the recent Garfield or Dilbert? They're just horrid.
They're just horrid. But at least they're better drawn.
Yeah. It's
and
a smoother
they have
horrible.
Millions now. They have millions.
Oh, yes, millions.
Millions and millions.
And money, too. It's insane.
Money's good.
Yeah. Like Scott Adams must have Uncle Scrooge's money bin sitting up on a hill where he just swims in the money.
I would like to swim in money. Actually, no. That sounds like a nightmare in paper.
Well, considering where dollar bill, how dirty dollar bills are, and how hard it is to swim through a solid stack of coins. probably
well,
would injure one.
It has more in common with this than you might think.
I always thought it would be way cooler if they were chocolate coins.
If they were, if you had a girl swimming through the chocolate coins, that would be.
There you
anyway.
Go.
yes, actually, it has more in common with fluidity than coins. That is like a big pile of coins.
Well,
so you could.
You wouldn't want to dive into it anyway.
Not unless you were Scrooge McDuck.
No, with a hard head.
Right. Because he mostly had coins in his pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't have a lot of dollars. He had mostly coins in there.
Probably
don't ask
out
to know.
It was all gelt. Monica Geltz.
Oh, Geltz.
You guys are terrible.
just saying.
Well, already here. Let's see here. What else? My mind is totally not here.
Burnt out.
Trying to back on topic here.
Burnt out.
What about here's a recovery method. What about a schedule? I find that helps a great deal. If you have an actual schedule that you go by,
tends
to make things work easier.
I would say not an ambitious schedule.
No. But I mean, you have a set time.
If you can force yourself into one, yes.
Yeah.
With the gag a day, you kind of have to. So it's because I don't do 5 a week, but I do 4 a day.
I've been very bad with my schedule.
I guess I should.
It helps a lot. I've been very bad with it lately because every time you add something new, you have to rework your schedule. Mm-hmm. So I always have this 2 to 3 week period where it's all crap and I can't get anything done because my schedule is not workable yet. Mm. But yeah, scheduling.
Hello? Tanya? Is anybody else there? Okay, everything just fried out. Hey everyone, sorry about that. Having some technical difficulties. The internet dropped in the middle of recording everything. We're going to run a couple of segments first, and then I'll finish it off with some news. Sorry about the short show, guys.
Brett Hanley with Casual Ramblings.
Okay, kids, so after a brief hiatus, I am back. Or am I? No, really, I'm back. So let's talk a little about burnout. I'm sure the main crew is discussing such useful things as how to avoid burnout or what you should do if you start to feel burned out. That's all well and good, but to be honest, if I gave a rat's ass about helping people, I'd actually be doing something instead of whipping off 2 minutes of commentary on a podcast. Instead, we're going to talk about what burnout really is, because I seriously doubt that 9 out of 10 cases of burnout are anything of the sort. I know whereof I speak. I've spent most of my adult life heavily involved in volunteer organizations. I've seen people undergo real burnout and gone through it once or twice myself. Burnout occurs when you find yourself devoting too much of your time, of yourself, to a project or a group. True burnout doesn't just affect your attitude towards the project, it affects your attitude towards everything. Some days you find yourself unwilling to even get out of bed because of the massive stone laying on your shoulders. Like I said, I doubt that many webcomic hiatuses and abandonments are the result of burnout. It seems more likely to me that their creators just get bored. This is not necessarily a bad thing. Most webcomic authors are fairly young, and I've always encouraged those young people I know to expand their horizons and experiment with different media and careers. That's pretty much the point of being young in the modern society. Of course, some folks just get discouraged. You hear about giants like Kurtz and Gallagher, and it seems so easy. Then you languish around the 3,000s at your favorite listing site for 6 months. I can name 3 good comics and any number of serviceable ones that died because their authors got discouraged. That's a shame, because there's no reason to feel discouraged. Webcomics is a hobby. You have to look at it like a softball league. Sure, there are a few ringers out there who shouldn't be on an amateur field, but so what? You're there for the love of the game, and when it gets too tiring, you're always free to find another. Back to you, Fez.
Find more from Brett Hanley at CasualNotice.com. The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
All right, settle down. Who knows webcomic rule number one? Jimmy. Jimmy, what's webcomic rule number one?
Webcomic rule number one, Mr. Savory, is that you should never, ever, 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 ever hide your webcomic.
Very good. Very good. And why is it that people break rule number one? Sally.
Because they're stupid!
No. Why do people break rule number one? Billy?
Mr. Savory, people break webcomic rule number one because they see the guys at Penny Arcade do it, so they figure they'll do the same thing.
Very good, Billy. And that brings us to rule number two. Billy, can you tell us about rule number two?
Mrs. Avery, webcomic rule number two is that you shouldn't just copy Penny Arcade, because all these other people have already done that, and they've gotten nowhere. Penny Arcade is really its own thing, and you can't just go out and copy it, and it's so obvious when people try to. And, they think that by copying Penny Arcade, that they're gonna get fame and fortune and cute girls and everything else, but the truth is they just look like losers because they're ripping off Penny Arcade.
Very good, Billy, very good. Now, why are some other reasons that people might possibly want to break rule number two? Sally.
Because they're stupid!
All right, class, for tomorrow, I want you to read pages 25 through 45 of What Birds Know, because we're going to have a quiz.
That's right. Rule number one and rule number two. Both, not surprisingly, are most often broken by those who wish to become the next Penny Arcade. As for breaking rule number one, hiding your comic from readers, some comics, What Birds Know is one of them, have a homemade landing page for navigation, and that's fine as long as it's original and fits with the comic and what you're trying to do. But others break rule number one not because having a blog on their homepage instead of their comic is best for the material, but because that's what the guys at Penny Arcade do, so they do it too. The two comics I have for you this week certainly break rule number one, and perhaps that's just as well, as it keeps you from seeing just how badly they break rule number two. First up, we have M for Mature at mfmcomics.com. This one not only breaks rule number one, but begs you to create an account with them in no less than six places on their homepage. In fact, it's pretty much their homepage, just a pitch to create a free account with them. I will give M for Mature a little credit for at least attempting to try and put their own spin on the character designs. Instead of just giving Gabe and Tycho different colored hair, they've sort of mashed the characters down, given them square eyes, and made them into the bobblehead versions of Gabe and Tycho. Other than that, the panel layout is taken directly from Penny Arcade. The word balloon design and placement, even the font they use, straight from Penny Arcade. Next is Friendly Fire On at ff-on.com. This one's a bit more blatant about lifting the character designs from Penny Arcade. There is a larger cast, but the main guys are pretty much Gabe and Tycho with different hair and wearing different shirts. In both comics, the characters are pretty much stand-ins for their more famous counterparts. They fill the same roles as Gabe and Tycho, each taking the same side in an argument, reacting the same way in a given situation. They aren't unique. They don't have their own worldview. They simply parrot whatever Gabe and Tycho would do or say or think in a given situation. If you were to ask either of the teams working on these comics, they would undoubtedly claim that they were simply inspired by Penny Arcade. And that's fine. Most of us crib a bit from artists and writers we admire. You do, I do, we all do. It's one way we have to learn our craft. The guy who draws Penny Arcade himself was inspired by the guy who went on to design the Kim Possible character for Disney. But while you can see similarities in the work of each, they are not carbon copies of one another. cloning the work of someone else is not covered under the term inspiration. At best, it's misguided, and at worst, it's trying to cash in on the work of others. Both are likely to lead to failure. Think of it this way. There's Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then there's Alan Quatermain and the Lost City of Gold. Alan Quatermain's an okay movie, but no matter how you try to slice it, at the end of the day, it's not going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it's not going to be as good. There's only one Raiders, and if I want to see Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'm not going to settle for Alan Quatermain and the Lost City of Gold. Likewise, why would I want to read a knockoff of Penny Arcade when I can just go read Penny Arcade? Now, it's important to note that these two comics are not badly made. Quite the contrary. They're very nicely polished, well-drawn, well-designed, the jokes are even funny. These are not bad comics. And that's the tragedy. You can tell that the creative teams working on these two comics have the kung fu. They have the creative skill and talent to be out there doing something new, original, different, entertaining, funny, whatever. Something that may very well deservedly set their feet upon that magic path that will lead to fame, fortune, status, merchandising, celebrity, all the things that we want. But instead, they have chosen almost willfully to ride the coattails of Gabe and Tycho like so many others before them. It's not only sad, it's downright frustrating to see, because it's obvious they could do better. So look, if you feel there is some reason that you absolutely must break rule number one, fine. But if you break rule number two, I'm going to keep you after class.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
This is Byron at stripfight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. Last week, our fighters were finger-licking good. Round 159 tastes like chicken was just the way we like it. Extra crispy. Max came out with a shot to the head. Jacob analyzed the situation. Aaron feasted on flesh. Vince gave us the bird, and John took the round personally. In all, we had five contenders, with the highest average score of 3.36. Jacob of awesomepedia.org is the winner. This week's round 160 alternate universe is going on now. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round 161 Broken Toys still has a few days left before the deadline on June 8th. Get those entries in. Stripfight.org. May the best comic win.
All right, everyone, this is Fess, and I have nobody with me right now because I'm trying to finish this episode up and get it online before I have to head out tomorrow after my overnight job to St. Louis, Missouri for the Comic Genesis annual cookout, which you can find out at cookout.comicgenesis.com. And I'll probably come back next week and have a little bit to talk about. But next week, Tanya and Aaron are going to be setting up a show. I kind of forgot what it was. I think they were going to talk about drawing the female figure. It's something about drawing and women for sure. I'm sure boobies will be brought up a lot. Well, go to webcomicbeacon.com and watch for any news updates that Tanya or Aaron may be posting. Let's see here. There is a one milestone this week that has been reported. I haven't been noticing anybody else's milestones. Please forgive me if I've missed them. It's a lot easier if you just send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com if you're hitting a milestone such as 100, 200, etc. Comics are online, or you've been online for X number of years. Those are great milestones. Also, good milestones would be if your comic has finished recently, and if you're starting a new webcomic about maybe about 20 to 80 strips, send it in, and we'll see if we can get Peter Turkelich or someone else to do a webcomic impression. And so, let's see here. Oh yeah, the milestone this week. The only one reported this week is Planet Saturday Comics is hitting its second year anniversary. Congratulations, and that's Planet Saturday Comics at planetsaturday.com. So check that out. Other news this week, there's really not that much news this week to report other than, well, I have nobody else to talk to about whether or not there's news. So I apologize to everyone for how short this episode is going to be.
or is, since this is essentially the end of the show. Just a couple of quick things. Thanks again to Rob Powell of Steam Pirates for coming on the show. Thanks to Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com for coming on this show as well. Also, welcome back to Brett Hanley with his Casual Ramblings, which we played earlier. Peter Turkelich is still out on some business or the things that he has to get done, so no webcomic impressions for a while. Hopefully we'll get those going pretty soon. Once again, also thanks to Aaron and Tanya for being on the show. You can find Aaron at tbolcomic.com. You can find Tanya at betapwned.com. And of course, I'm Fess of fessworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com, and we'll catch you again next week.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
I think we should add the rule when we do the drink, get the drinking game all sorted. Whenever Tanya never shows up on time, take a drink.
Oh, whenever her mic craps out.
Well, that's some power drinking there.